Donald Trump has called on supporters to protest his potential arrest on Tuesday, 21st of March, as Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg appears to be close to deciding whether to charge him in the probe into the hush money payment made to immoral film star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential election. Donald Trump said in a post on Truth Social on Saturday, 18th of March, illegal leaks indicate that the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Trump continued, "Protest, take our nation back." A spokesperson for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which has been investigating a $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels, declined to comment. Donald Trump, who is seeking the Republican nomination for the presidency in 2024, has said he will continue campaigning even if he's charged with a crime. Trump's call comes as several recent signs appear to point to the grand jury Alvin Bragg organized being close to possibly filing charges against him. Recently, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen testified before the grand jury and Stormy Daniels met with Manhattan prosecutors. With Michael Cohen's testimony, almost every major figure involved in the investigation has appeared before the grand jury. Donald Trump was also invited to testify before the grand jury in the coming days, which is an indication that a verdict on charges is coming imminent. Trump has declined the offer. Alvin Bragg's inquiry centers on a $130,000 payment that Michael Cohen made to Stormy Daniels in the lead-up to the 2016 election for her to remain silent about an inappropriate affair that she had with Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to a handful of charges in 2018, including one for a campaign finance violation relating to the payment. He was sentenced to several years in prison, but was later allowed to serve the remainder of his sentence under house arrest. Michael Cohen has said he paid Stormy Daniels at Donald Trump's direction. The payment was made during Trump's presidential campaign, raising speculation that Cohen used campaign funds to silence Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford. However, Michael Cohen insists that he paid her out of his own pocket, and neither Donald Trump nor his campaign reimbursed him afterwards. Stormy Daniels has sued both Trump and Cohen, charging them with defamation. She also argues that the non-disclosure agreement between Michael Cohen and her is invalid because Donald Trump never signed the non-disclosure agreement. Meanwhile, the New York Times has also covered this story. With the Manhattan grand jury indictment likely, but its timing unclear, Donald Trump sought to rally supporters to his side, declaring that he would be arrested on Tuesday, 21st of March, and called for protests. Trump made the declaration on his site Truth Social at 7:26 a.m. local time on Saturday, 18th of March. 2 hours later, spokesman issued a statement saying that Trump had not written his post with direct knowledge of the timing of any arrest, adding, "President Trump is rightfully highlighting his innocence and the weaponization of our injustice system." Within hours, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy posted on Twitter that he was calling for an investigation into whether federal funds were being used for politically motivated prosecutions, a thinly veiled threat to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. A spokesman for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office declined to comment. Prosecutors working for Alvin Bragg have signaled that an indictment of Donald Trump could be imminent, but people with knowledge of the matter said that they have not told Trump's lawyers when the charges, expected to stem from a 2016 hush money payment to a film star, would be sought or an arrest made. The people said at least one more witness is expected to testify in front of the grand jury, which could delay an indictment. One of the people said that even if grand jury were to vote to indict the former president on Monday, 20th of March, A Tuesday surrender was unlikely, given the need to arrange timing, travel, and other logistics. The statement from Donald Trump's spokesman did not explain how he had landed on Tuesday as an arrest date. One person with knowledge of the matter said Trump's advisers had guessed that it could happen around then and that someone might have relayed that to the former president. A lawyer for Donald Trump, Susan Neschels, said that his post had been based on news reports and accused the Manhattan District Attorney's Office of conducting a political prosecution. British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Top Republicans, including some of Donald Trump's potential rivals for the Republican Party's 2024 presidential nomination, rushed to his defense after the former president said he expected to be arrested over the next few days. Former Vice President Mike Pence, who is widely expected to launch a campaign for the Republican nomination in the coming weeks, said, "The idea of indicting a former president of the United States is deeply troubling to me, as it is to tens of millions of Americans." Among those coming to Donald Trump's defense on Saturday were House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who claimed a possible indictment would be an outrageous abuse of power by a radical district attorney who lets violent criminals walk as he pursues political vengeance against Donald Trump. Kevin McCarthy said he would direct relevant Republican-led House committees to immediately investigate if federal funds are being used to subvert our democracy by interfering in elections with politically motivated prosecutions. McCarthy has not endorsed Trump's White House campaign, but Donald Trump helped Kevin McCarthy secure the speakership after a contentious campaign that required multiple rounds of voting. Kevin McCarthy's predecessor as Speaker, Democrat Nancy Pelosi, said in a statement, "The former president's recent announcement is reckless, doing so to keep himself in the news and to foment unrest among his supporters. He cannot hide from his violations of the law, disrespect for our elections, and incitements to violence." Law enforcement officials in New York have been making security preparations for the possibility that Donald Trump could be indicted, but there has been no public announcement of any time frame or any indictment. Mike Pence, who has been escalating his criticism of the former president in recent weeks, said, "No one is above the law." He claimed, "I'm confident President Trump can't take care of himself. My focus is going to continue to be on issues that are affecting the American people." Representatives for the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, another potential candidate who is seen as Donald Trump's most serious rival, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley, another candidate, did not address the investigation while campaigning in South Carolina.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of the last savior and the need for the savior. What are the promises of the savior and how salvation is reached through belief in the last savior. Some people and some theologians resemble Imam as to the sun behind the clouds, Shaykh Rouhani. Still, there are so many other people ask that what would be the benefit and the use of a sun behind the clouds? Because the sun is sun when it is over the clouds, when it is shining over the people. What's your answer to that?
Yes, of course, sun is always sun, and sun itself is not for being behind the cloud, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the cloud that causes sun to be behind it.
Okay.
Same is the case with the Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala, farajahu sharif, because the first responsibility of the Imam is to be among the people, not to be hidden from the people. But the problem is from the people's side, not from the Imam's side.
Mm-hmm.
As the problem is from the cloud side, not from the sun side.
Okay.
So Imam is always Imam, sun is always sun. But if there is cloud, if the people actually treat and behave the Imams in a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally decide to save the Imam from the evil rulers, from the evil people. So this is the problem of the people. As you see, for example, in the history, when we look at the life of the prophets,
yes,
you see, for example, Prophet Nuh, alayhi salam, he saved his people. Or, for example, Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, he also saved his people from the arrogant power Nimrud. Same was the case with Prophet Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it seems that there is a problem with the people who wanted to kill Nuh, who wanted to kill Ibrahim, who wanted to kill, for example, Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they saved the people. So in the history, it happened for the prophets, and same stories happened to the Imams. All the Imams, all the 11 Imams, the forefathers of this Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, they were martyred.
Yes.
They were killed, they were poisoned. Some of them, like Abu Abdullah Hussain, which is well known to the whole universe, that how was he martyred very sadly in Karbala and Nineveh. So this was the story of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to save the Imam in order to save the people finally from this arrogant and satanic and the evil power.
Because some believe that he is the only hujjah.
Of course, yeah.
Or proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth.
Yes.
So Allah's blessings and Allah's mercies on the people, not only on earth, but the whole universe, is because of Imam.
It's because of the Imam, yes, of course.
Is it exaggeration, Sayyid? Am I exaggerating?
No, it's not the exaggeration, obviously. We have the narrations that if the hujjat or the proof of Allah or authority of Allah is not in this world, then this world won't exist.
Uh-huh.
So, and on the other hand, we have that the Prophet ﷺ has said that Allah has created my nur, my light first, and from there he created the rest of the universe. So he created the mankind because of these personalities, these perfect, we can say like, you know, personalities who were the most beloved ones in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And he wanted the rest of the people to be like them. That's why they are the role model for the people. They are the proofs and the authority on the world. On the other hand, when you talk about the sun behind the cloud, basically there was a doubt.
Yes.
Which was answered through this phrase. And the doubt was that when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is in occultation, what does this occultation mean?
Yes.
Is he out of the sights of the people?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
is he absent?
What
is the need of an absent
so
Imam,
occultation,
for example?
Does not mean, for example, you know, when they say absent, they mean like, you know, there is a safe.
Mm-hmm.
We have precious thing, we put it in the safe and we lock it with the key.
Okay.
Right? Now, do we have access to that thing inside the safe? No. We need to open the door. Uh-huh. This is not the meaning of occultation. On the other hand, the scholars, the theologians have come and said, the occultation means like a sun which is behind the cloud, which is shining there, but for some time, due to some reasons, through the wisdom, Allah has brought some clouds in front of us so that we cannot see him, but still we feel his light. You know, the sun behind the cloud shines. It is day. You can see the day. Mm-hmm. It's not dark. Yes, clouds are coming. You know, they're stopping the rays of the sun coming towards the people.
Veiling the sun, that's right.
But still, because of that sun behind the cloud, when we walk in the street, we can see around us. It's all light. It's not dark. It's not like night. Therefore, the shining is there, but it is through the means. And obviously, the means are the maraji or the fuqaha. Mm-hmm. That at this time would need to benefit from them in his occultation. So this was the basic concept, because some people used to say that if he is in occultation, it means that he is absent, we cannot see. Mm-hmm. The way, you know, there is the absence of the Prophet Jesus, for example. We do not have any direct connection or indirect connection with him. Whereas in regards to the Imam Mahdi, because he is Imam, he's the leader, he has to lead. He has connections through different means with the fuqaha and the na'ibin that he had, the representatives.
Yes.
And we are obliged to follow these fuqaha.
And they are not necessarily the people who we witness every day on the screen of the TV or something like that. There could be some people who are unknown, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they say that, for example, when Imam reappears, the army of the Imam will start with a very small number of the people. Mm-hmm. 313 people starting, okay? This is a number, this is a symbol, but it shows that the number of the people who are considered as the main companion of the Imam are not many, unfortunately. And this makes the responsibility of the awaiters of the Imam as very much difficult. Shaykh Rouhani, who are they? And what are the main characteristics? What should be, in fact, the main characteristics of the awaiters of Imam Asr?
You know, according to our riwayat and ahadith, whatever we do, for example, daily on during, for example, the week, it will be presented to the Imam, and the Imam will observe us.
Uh-huh.
Imam is like observer that always observes whatever we do in our lives. So that's why we must always consider that Imam alayhi salatu wassalam is observing us. So you see, this way, even if Imam is ghaib, is absent, but we have his presence, his hudur, his presence in our lives each and every moment. Because we think that, of course, for example, whatever I do in my life, in every moment, I should consider that Imam is observing me. So I have to make the Imam pleased. So that is why I think, of course, sometimes the point is that sometimes the people had direct access to the Imam, but they didn't care. They didn't follow the Imams.
Yes.
They disrespected the Imam. They killed the Imam. But in a hadith, it says that, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you, is examining you that, okay, when Imam is ghaib and Imam is not present, how do you live then? Mm-hmm. So this is a kind of opportunity that's given to the people.
Yes.
That of course, Imam is observing you, but we do not observe your Imam.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that Imam should observe us. It's not important that we observe the Imam, you know? And that's why we should control ourselves. We should be very much careful and cautious about each and everything that we do. And the other point is that our responsibility is this, that we should be always prepared for the reappearance of the Imam.
This is very important.
Yeah,
that's
because
right.
Because it is unknown.
Live as if you as are if, yeah, always...
As if Imam is coming.
As if Imam,
as if
coming,
Imam is
right.
about to come.
Yes, yes.
So, for example, if today, God bless us with the presence of the Imam, then how can we affair ourselves to the Imam? Yeah,
yes.
This is very much important
how is
question.
It possible, man?
Yeah, how did we live in this world? That yeah, that if Imam referred to us, are we ready to say that?
No,
yeah,
we
example,
are not like, ready.
Yeah, of course, this is a very important question.
I'm not ready. Yes.
That is why I think, for example, for these 1,000 years,
yes,
that Muslims lived, that true mu'mineen lived, there were few true mu'mineen that they were always ready for the reappearance of the Imam.
So what happens to them, Sayyid Mohsen? The people who died and passed away, but they were really, truly loving Imam Asr. When the Imam reappears, do they do Raj'ah or something like that? Do we have such a concept?
Well, obviously, being a Shia, we need to believe in Raj'ah. Raj'ah means that after passing away, they will be raised again. And we have many examples in the history. For example, in the Quran, even we have the example of the Prophet Uzair, who was raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after 100 years, after the 100 years of his death. And there are many other examples, and this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, for those in the narrations, it is said that those who wished to be with him, they will be raised. And on top of that, in some hadith, we also have, you know, the Ashabi Kahf. You know, who are sleeping in the cave. They will be raised as well, like at that time. So this raising up is not a big issue because the one who created
it is very much like resurrection, isn't it?
It's kind of, yes. And the main idea is because, you know, about the death, there is a basic difference of the, you know, belief in the death. What does death mean? Some people believe that death means the end of everything. Whereas in Islamic teachings or Islamic philosophy, it proves that the death means the transfer of a person from one place to another.
That's right.
That's why we use the word intiqal. Intiqal means transferring.
Transfer, that's right.
It's not the death as the meaning of
termination.
End of
it's not
everything.
Termination.
It's not termination.
Yeah.
So that's why we have the examples in the Quran as well, in the history as well, the people who passed away or after some time they were raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the prophets. You know, the prophet Jesus used to, you know, raise people with
the dead ones. Yes.
Qum bi'idhnillah.
Yes.
You need to raise with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have all these things in the history, and this is not a big deal.
Okay.
But the main point is, is my actions, is my living style, everything in line with the teachings that when the Imam will come, I'm ready for that. Am I making grounds for that or not? Because this is the main ideology behind, even behind the Islamic revolution of Iran.
Yes.
That Imam Khomeini and even the Supreme Leader, they believe that we need to make grounds for someone who needs to come. Obviously, this is our duty, to make this world ready for his reappearance, so that when he comes, there is a station for him. There is, you know, a place. There are some companions. There are believers. And we need to aware people of the world. If everyone wants justice, they must be aware of the Mahdi.
Yes.
Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Why? Because he is the one who will bring the justice. And we can see that in today's world, especially with this media, with the we can say like the movie.
Yes, the media and the movies.
The media and
cinema,
movies.
Yes.
Even there, they are talking about these concepts as well.
Yes.
You know, there are many movies which were made on the last savior, how he would be. On the other hand, the movies that are in the hand of the media, which is in the hands of the satanic, satanic powers, they're showing him as, you know, someone who is someone who will invade the countries and take everything in his hands. He will not bring the justice.
Or people are after killing him. That's right.
So the both ideas are there. But the main thing is we need to...
The latest version was the movie Dune.
Dune, yes.
D-U-N-E, okay?
The latest Dune.
The latest Dune, that's us.
Because there are different series of that, the last
that's
one.
Right.
They
and
have
I,
given the...
And they called the one...
Yes.
And at the end of the movie, the one is called the Mahdi.
The
Mahdi is called, okay.
So basically, these are the things that are to deviate people.
From the true,
understanding of the concept. Obviously, we have seen that the media has played the active role in deviating people from the real concept.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of the last savior and the need to this concept in today's world and in this world. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since today is the last day of the Iranian calendar year 1401 Solar Hijri year, which means tomorrow in the early hours of Tuesday morning at 54 minutes and 28 seconds past midnight Iran time, planet Earth will complete its yearly revolution around the sun. Let us present you a narration recorded by Allama Majlisi from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, who says, in Nowruz, Allah made a covenant with his servants to worship him and not to allow any partner for him, to welcome his messengers and obey their rulings. This day is the first day that the fertile wind blew and the flowers on earth appeared. The Archangel Gabriel appeared to the Prophet, and it is the day that Abraham broke the idols. The day Prophet Muhammad held Imam Ali on his shoulders to destroy the idols the Quraysh had placed atop the symbolic house of God, the Kaaba.
Happy Nowruz celebration of New Iranian calendar year to all Iranians and all Farsi-speaking people around the world. I, on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, congratulate you at the beginning of spring.
What happened in Syria?
Part 2.
Nowadays, the Silk Road is not what it used to be in the past, and much of it is destroyed or replaced. Of course, the Chinese, in cooperation with many other Asian countries, like Iran, intend to revive the Silk Road. This is a decision which is not secret, as they have talked about it openly on many occasions. Till then, the road linking Baghdad to Damascus, and from there to the Mediterranean coast, is still considered as the Silk Road. Now, the Americans have established bases in Tanf, right on the main Baghdad-Damascus road, cutting off the Silk Road. And their allied militants don't even allow anyone to enter the base's 35-mile radius. For this reason, when the Iraqis who were in pursuit of ISIS forces entered Syria at the Syrian government's request and unknowingly approach this area, U.S. warplanes would attack them.
I want to go back to the TANF operation that took place yesterday. Could you confirm that the targeted Shia militias were Iranians or Hezbollah? And do you see any interest, any vital interest to the U.S. and the coalition to control the whole Syrian-Iraqi border?
Let me take a stab at this. At ADTOMF is what you're referring to, the force that moved near ADTOMF. Is that what you're referring to? That was, again, as the chairman pointed out, self-defense of our forces. It was necessitated, sir, by offensive movement with offensive capability of what we believe were Iranian-directed forces. I don't know there were Iranians on the ground.
The U.S. Secretary of Defense had claimed that the Iraqis were encouraged by Iran to make an offensive move. The Iraqis paid a price for the move, U.S. airstrikes. That meant getting close to TANF was treated as an attack on U.S. forces. Thus, U.S. aircraft droplets over the area, warning against approaching the base. That's the reason why American troops came here from more than 9,500 kilometers away. These are the same heroes that were given a warm send-off ceremony by the American people to protect their dignity and interests and have come here as if they are defending U.S. borders. Although, in some way, they were right. TANF is where the U.S. defends its undisputed dominance over the West. A good thing about Trump is that we don't need to try hard to prove many of our claims about the U.S. anymore.
People want economic freedom.
Iran's a different place.
Is it true that
Iran's no longer thinking about the Mediterranean and going through and...
Trump mentions Iran because he knows many people among Syria's armed opposition rely on the U.S. to counter Iran's regional influence. But it's obvious what Trump means is cutting off eastern economies from the Mediterranean. All right, we said all this to show that the war in Syria is not just about ideology and religion. That's just one reason among many. But before we switch to another puzzle, this question comes to mind. When did they exactly decide to wage a war on Syria? Let's listen to what Wesley Clark has to say. During those years, Clark was the commander of U.S. forces in NATO. He has also run for president several times.
I went through the Pentagon 10 days after 9/11. I couldn't stay away from Mother Army. I went back there to see Don Rumsfeld. I went downstairs. I was leaving the Pentagon, and an officer from the Joint Staff called me into his office and said, I want you to know, he said, sir, we're going to attack Iraq. And I said, why? He said, we don't know. He said, I said, well, did they tie Saddam to 9/11? He said, no. He said, but I guess it's they don't know what to do about terrorism. And so they think, but they can attack states and they want to look strong. And so I walked out of there pretty upset. And then we attacked Afghanistan. I was pretty happy about that. We should have. And then I came back to the Pentagon about 6 weeks later. I saw the same officer. I said, why haven't we attacked Iraq? We still going to attack Iraq? He said, oh, sir. He says, it's worse than that. He said, he pulled up a piece of paper off his desk. He said, I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office. It says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in seven countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. I said, seven countries in 5 years. I said, is that a classified memo? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't show it to me. He was about to show it to me. He said, because I want to talk about it.
Wesley Clark is not the only person who believes the war in Syria was planned long before it started. Many others, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., also share this belief. He is the nephew of the former President of the United States. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is both a lawyer and author, published an article in 2016 in Politico magazine entitled "Why Arabs Don't Want Us in Syria." The article stunned many. He writes, in their view, our war against Bashar Assad did not begin with the peaceful civil protests of the Arab Spring in 2011. In their view, our war against Bashar Assad did not begin with the peaceful civil protests of the Arab Spring in 2011. Instead, it began in 2000, when Qatar proposed to construct a $10 billion, 1,500-kilometer pipeline through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and Turkey. To see whether Kennedy's claims are true or false, we go back to the year 2000. As you are aware, Russia is the biggest producer and exporter of natural gas, with Europe being its biggest customer. The Russians export 70% of their produced natural gas to Europe. This means a steady source of income for the Russians. Russia has been using this as a tool to put pressure on Europe. For example, when European countries in 2009 sided with Ukraine in its price dispute with Russia's gas company Gazprom, the Russians turned off the gas taps in response. All this shows that the Europeans would want to disentangle themselves from this predicament, and the United States would also love to see such a huge source of revenue from its rival Russia. The US is highly motivated as it tries to find an alternative to Russia's gas. As a result, they have turned to Qatar and Azerbaijan for gas. But the fact is that Europe's demand for gas could not be met via sea only, and that such a huge supply could only be sent to the continent through a pipeline. This was where the notion of the Qatari gas pipeline was put forth. That's the same energy transit route that would pass through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Syria, and then reach Europe via Turkish terminals. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. writes, in Putin's view, the Qatar pipeline is a NATO plot to change the status quo, deprive Russia of its only foothold in the Middle East, strangle the Russian economy, and end Russian leverage in the European energy market.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbah, wa bil Islam deena. الإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, salam alaikum. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about how to be a better person in the new year.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان. بالنور والإيمان.
يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان. يا ربي يا رحمن يا مبدع الأكوان. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان. إليك قلبا يذوب حبا بالنور والإيمان.
Today, Monday, is the 27th of Shaban, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by listening to recitation of verses 42 and 43 of chapter Ankabut from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allah ya'lamu ma yad'un min dunihi min shay'in wa huwa al-'azizul hakim.
Indeed, Allah knows whatever thing they call upon other than Him, and He is the Exalted in Might, the Wise.
وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ.
And these examples we present to the people, but none will understand them except those of knowledge.
لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The man's inclinations to other than Allah are in the knowledge of Allah, and we must make us ready to answer for it. Instead of relying on the other than Allah, which is as weak and baseless as the spider's house, we must rely on Allah, who is the mighty, the invincible. However, in this verse, the Quran threatens and warns these negligent, unaware polytheists and implicitly says that Allah knows whatever they call other than Him. On the new series of today's special, we'll look at the New Year resolution. The start of a new year is the perfect time to turn a new page, which is probably why so many people make New Year's resolutions. The new year often feels like a fresh start and a great opportunity to change bad habits and establish new routines that will help you grow psychologically, emotionally, socially, physically, or intellectually. Of course, resolutions are much easier to make than to keep, and by the end of month, many of us have abandoned our resolve and settled back into our old patterns. Part of the problem may be that we do not know how to keep New Year's resolutions, despite our good intentions.
Dear brothers and sisters, due to the arrival of the New Year holidays and the days that we have ahead, so it's the time for us to think and ponder on how to become a better person. Now it's time to have some verses from Holy Quran that helps us to become a better person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 3, verse 159, and consult them in the matter. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, successful indeed are the believers. Chapter 23, verse 2. He indeed prospers who purifies it. This is again chapter 91, verse 10. Again, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the righteous is decreed a triumph. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily he indeed will prosper who purifies himself. In the next verse, verily those who tremble with the fear of their Lord. In the next verse, knowledge of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, acquire it by the Quran, rich in wisdom. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those who invent a lie against Allah will never be successful. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, believers, you are the best community, singled out for people. You order what is right, forbid what is wrong, and believe in God. And in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he will indeed be successful who purifies his self, and he will indeed fail who corrupts his own self. So beautifully, the Holy Quran actually has shown us the way in order to become a successful person.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This is today's special, which comes to you and how to be a better person. So, love yourself, that is one step. When you love yourself, you'll want what's best for it. Thus, you'll look for whatever can make it comfortable and content. Learn to accept yourself for who you are, and only then will you be able to enhance it and feel better. Tell yourself that you're kind and compassionate, that you're worthy and important, anything that would make you feel loved and accepted by yourself. The other one for being a better person, be thankful and appreciative. Thank Allah for the countless blessings that He showers upon you each and every day, and appreciate what you have instead of obsessing over what you wish you had. Also, thank people for whatever good they do to you and appreciate their thought and effort.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see, is thanks to you.
We're going to enter to New Year according to solar calendar. So you follow this topic, how to be a better person. Forgiving yourself and others can help you improve relationships. So it's one step for being a better version of ourselves. On your journey to becoming a better person, it's important to let go of any grudges you're holding. The past is in the past. It's time to improve forward. Allow yourself time to forgive your past mistakes and recognize what they've taught you. Then forgive those who have hurt you. You may not be able to forget what they've done, and that's okay, but forgiveness can give you peace of mind. Dwelling on past wrongs can actually increase your blood pressure and heart rate, while forgiveness can help manage and lower stress.
We have a beautiful hadith from Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The Imam says, if you're not forgiving and forbearing, if you're not halim, you're not willing to forgive people and have patience with them, fatahallam, pretend to be forgiving. It's very difficult for you to be forgiving towards other people, but pretend, just act like you forgave them. Act like you're generous and kind to them. Act like you're nice. Let's say I'm not a nice human being. I'm just not nice, okay? Act as if you're nice. Pretend to be nice. If you do this for some time, actually your personality becomes a nice person. We have another hadith, for example, when it comes to crying for Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. The hadith says if you can't cry for Imam Al-Hussein and his tragedies, pretend to cry. Try to cry. Even if that tear is not coming down and you don't feel that sympathy in your heart, act as if you're trying to cry. This will soften your heart. It will bring about the sympathy from your heart. Now, when we talk about pretending, I'm not encouraging you to be hypocrites in society and go everywhere and pretend. No. Between you and God, you and your own private life, pretend to be a good person. Pretend to be pious. It really has an impact. If you do this, the hadith says, for 40 days, من أخلص لله أربعين صباحا. If you manage to bring yourself to be pious and sincere, and act as if you're pious and sincere between you and your Lord. If you can manage to do that for 40 days, من أخلص لله أربعين صباحا ظهرت ينابيع الحكمة في قلبه على لسانه. The springs of wisdom will flow from your heart through your tongue. If you simply manage to behave properly, to be pious for 40 days, then you've trained yourself. This is one aspect of it. The second aspect, go and live with someone, or travel with someone, or go camping with someone who's pious. Someone who's humble. Someone who's not selfish. Like the example of the shoe shiner which we gave. A producer will ask an actor, before you act this role, go and see how a shoe shiner lives in the street. How they think, how they view life, how they act. In the same manner, my recommendation is, especially for our youth, find someone, find a good friend, find a scholar, find someone who's wise in your society. Go out camping with them, see how they think, how they view life. This will have an impact on you.
Dear listeners, that was all about this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic another time. Till then, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami. علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.